I've been thinking about some of the good news days in my life. some of them really big, some of them really small. A few years ago, within a period of about a week, I had won two sweepstakes. One was I won a digital camera, and I won a certificate. I think it was for $100 within about a week. And I'm a guy who does well to win a cup of coffee and roll up the rim. So this was pretty exciting, and I just had to tell people about winning these sweepstakes, because good news is for sharing. I think about when I was baptized. Just wanted to tell everybody, because good news is for sharing. I think about the birth of our children, and I was really excited about the birth of our children. I remember James was the first one, and you know, you try everything out on the first one. But I had a new camera, and I was taking pictures, and I was all excited. When we got done, I said to Kathy, "Oh, let's do this again. This is a lot of fun." And she said, "Whoa." I don't think she fully appreciates the stress that an expectant father is under. I was very, very excited, very, very excited about that. And another, not big one, but again, for a guy who doesn't win all that much, I won another sweepstakes, won a Lexmark printer. Laser printing. Pretty excited about that, and excited and wanted to tell people, because good news is for sharing. In 490 BC, Pheidippides ran from the plains of Marathon in Greece to the city of Athens to announce the Athenian victory over a huge invading Persian force. And that's where we get our word marathon, because good news is for sharing. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a Syrian warrior, the chief general of the Syrian army by the name of Naaman. And on a raid into Israel, he captured a young girl who became his wife's servant. And she shows a certain amount of affection and respect for her master and mistress, even though she has been taken out of her homeland and made into a slave, because Naaman is sick. And very excitedly, it seems, from the language, she tells her mistress that there's a prophet in Israel, and if her master could just go to Israel, she's sure that he could be cured, because good news is for sharing. In the next two chapters, in 2 Kings 6 and 7, the Syrians are at war again with Israel, and they're besieging the city of Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And things were not going well. There was famine in the city, starvation in the city. And just outside the city gates were a group of Israelite lepers. Not too welcomed in the city, and not really welcomed anywhere because of their leprosy. But they're at the city gates, and they're trying to decide what to do. If we go into the city, we'll just starve with everybody else. And if we stay here, we'll starve. And if we go to the Syrians, they may kill us. But on the other hand, maybe they won't kill us. Maybe they'll have mercy on us. So they decide they'll go to the Syrian camp and take their chances. They go to the Syrian camp and they find out that God has destroyed the Syrian army in the night. And there's all this stuff. There's all this stuff there. And all this plunder. There's food and wealth and all that. And while they're enjoying themselves, they begin to feel guilty that that they are enjoying this plunder, but they're not sharing it with the starving people in the city. And so they go back to the city to tell them that the siege has been lifted and they're free from the siege. Because good news is for sharing. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes, the beginning of his ministry, and it says that he comes preaching good news and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, which means change directions. You've been headed in the wrong direction. You need to change and go in the right direction. Believe the good news of the coming kingdom of God, which has been prophesied since the days of Daniel. Because good news is for sharing. And throughout the New Testament, we see that same sort of theme in one way or another. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the coming Messiah with the words that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He tells this to two of his disciples. And these disciples then go and spend the day with Jesus. And after spending the day with Jesus, they go and find, one of them goes to find his relative and the other goes to find his friend. Andrew goes and finds his relative, Simon. We know him better as Peter. And say, we found the Messiah. Come and see this guy. Philip goes and he finds his friend Nathanael. And calls him the same way. And even though Nathanael is skeptical about whether anything good can come out of Nazareth, where Jesus is from, still we see the same thing. Good news is for sharing. One found his relative, his brother. The other found his friend and shared the good news with them. In Luke and Acts, Luke wrote a two-volume set on, you might call it, the history of the early church. Luke is about the life of Jesus and Jesus winning salvation for the world, and Acts is about the early church taking the message of salvation to the world. And you can visualize Luke and Acts as if it were an hourglass. Imagine an hourglass. And Luke begins in the wider Gentile world, and he makes some references to who the emperors were and who the governors were and that sort of thing. He's out in the wider world. Then he introduces Jesus, and in Luke there is what's sometimes called the travel narrative, where there are these signposts along the way, in effect, as Jesus moves from Galilee, the outer lands, Galilee of the Gentiles, and moves steadily, steadily, steadily to the center of Judaism, to Jerusalem. This is all in Luke. And at the end of Luke, Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he dies on the cross, and he is raised from the dead. The book of Acts, volume 2, begins in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Jesus, and begins with the early disciples then grasping the meaning of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and then going out to the wider world. And it ends in the city of Rome, which is the heart of the Roman Empire. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, gives the theme and the basic structure of Acts. And these are the words of Jesus to his disciples before he ascends, to the Father. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, that's where they are right now. Judea and Samaria are a wider area around Jerusalem. To the ends of the earth, that's just as far as it will go. So notice how it starts in the wider world, comes to Jerusalem and the cross and the resurrection, then starting at the resurrection, goes back again into the wider world. And there's a kind of excitement in Luke Acts as Jesus sets about to do what he had come to do, to win salvation for the world. And then in Acts, there is the excitement of the early Christians grasping are beginning to grasp the enormity of what Jesus has done on the cross and in the resurrection, and taking that message, that gospel, that good news to the whole world. Because good news is for sharing. Aren't you glad, if you're a Christian, aren't you glad that someone shared good news with you? And the gospel is a good news message. Last week we talked about that a little bit. Before we hear the good news, we have to hear the bad news. And the bad news is we're sinners and we're lost without Christ. The good news is that he came so that we wouldn't be lost. He came so that we could be saved. And saved means having a loving relationship with the God of the universe forever. Forever. And that loving relationship gives us the greatest joy, the greatest happiness, the greatest comfort, the greatest peace that can be known. In this world, we know moments of pleasure or happiness or joy or peace, but as an ongoing possession. And at the deepest level, no one just knows that continually in this world. But in the presence of God, we taste that, and it's a taste of the greater joy and delight that we will have in God forever. Good news. Good news, God has not left you to your own devices. Good news, God has not left you to wallow in your mistakes and your sins and your failures and all the things that you have done that cause you misery, the things you have done that you know have hurt others and that come back to haunt you, the things that you have done that have cut you off from the life that God wanted you to have. Good news, Jesus has come to deal with all that. And that kind of good news is for sharing. So what's the best way for us to share that? Well, let's start with this. If you're a Christian, what's been your experience of God? What's been your experience of God? If you really are beginning to grasp who God is, then that the experience, your experience with God will have been a positive experience. That he has been there for you. He has been better to you. As a guy in prison, I once heard pray, Lord, we thank you for being better to us than we've been to ourselves. And that's absolutely true. No matter how good we think we've been to ourselves, God has been better to us than we have been to ourselves. So what's your experience with God? Can you remember the excitement of your baptism? Why? Because you had heard good news. The good news that in Jesus Christ, life could begin again. You could be reborn. You could be resurrected from spiritual death. Good news. Good news that there's freedom and there's life and there's peace in Jesus Christ. How has God blessed your life since that? Since your conversion, in big ways, little ways, sometimes we can lose track. Sometimes we can get so focused on whatever the stresses are, whatever the problems are, whatever the mistakes are, that we forget about the overall blessings. Sometimes we can get so bogged down in the minutiae of living that we don't realize how far we've come and how much God has been there for us step by step by step. But when we can grasp that, we recognize that this is truly good news. Good news is for sharing. How can we have that good news and not want to share that with other people? And how do we share it? I don't have time to say all those things this morning, but I want to concentrate on one thing. For most of us, there's different ways to share good news. And if you read the read the New Testament, you see different ways that they shared the good news. But for most of us, for average, ordinary people like us, the most effective way to share the good news is with people with whom you already have a relationship, a positive relationship. Most of us became Christians due to the influence of somebody who was family or friend. Now, there are exceptions, but most of us, that's the way we came into the kingdom of God. Family influenced us, friends influenced us, and I am a firm believer that if you're studying with somebody, if you're a Christian and you're studying with somebody, you need to either be friends when you start the study or you need to become friends while you're studying. Because we listen to friends, family and friends, better than we listen to strangers. Isn't that true? Just on the level of buying things. Are you more likely to buy something because somebody on the phone is telling you how good this is, or somebody who comes knocking on your door, or because a friend of yours say, this product is amazing? We are more likely to listen to friends and family because we trust them. And in Jesus Christ, we have the most important, the most vital, the best message of all, and we should use those bridges of God, those relationships between us and other people, to tell them good news. How do you tell any good news whatsoever to family and friends? How do you do it? Speaking the gospel to people isn't that different. Just think of it as you have found the greatest product in the world, and you want your friend to know about this greatest product. That won't clean their sink, it'll clean their soul. Okay? Tremendous, tremendous stuff, because good news is for sharing. A number of years ago, there was a man who immigrated to the U.S. from India. When he came from India, he didn't know anybody. A young Christian woman befriended him. So they became friends. And after a while, this man became a Christian. And after he became a Christian, he said, you built a bridge between your heart and mine, and Jesus walked across. Can we do that? Can we do that? Sometimes we're so intimidated or we're so frightened by what if I don't know enough? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they reject me and I lose the friendship? What if? But if we concentrate on, I have the best news that my friend will ever hear. I have the best news that my family members will ever, ever hear. I am not doing them a disservice. I am doing them the greatest act of love and friendship that I can do for them by telling them the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ for them. Because good news is for sharing. Would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you looked down upon us in our lostness and you didn't leave us there. That you came into the world in Jesus to live in our midst, to love us as we are, and to call us to something greater. We thank you that in Jesus you were willing to show your love for us, to demonstrate your love for us by dying on the cross. That you were willing to make such a great sacrifice that we might live, that we might have a relationship with you throughout all time and eternity. Father, we thank you for the good news that came with Jesus Christ. We ask that you would help us to really embrace the good news, to see it as it is, the best news of all. And those of us who are Christians, Father, I just ask that you'd stir a desire in us to speak good news to the people we know. And to those of us here who are not Christians, I ask, Father, that you will stir hearts to believe that it really is good news and that it's time to repent and believe the good news. Father, help us all to draw closer to you and to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. If this morning you have a need that you'd like to share with this group, we want to give you that opportunity. Your need may be that you're ready to become a Christian, that you hear the good news as good news. The good news that you can have all, you can have the best relationship with God possible through time and eternity. And that you are ready in faith to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, turning away from your past life of sin and rebellion against God, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being united with him in baptism, in which your sins are washed away and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are ready to do that, or if you have some prayer requests you'd like to make this morning, we want to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing our next song.